Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will discuss the distinctions between the words veteran, soldier, and warrior, and how they can be applied to real-life circumstances. We will explain the warrior as a mythological image and an archetype for the defender of truth, principle, and honor. We all have a Mars, and on a development level, we are all fighting a hard battle. Growth requires effort. Because we have lost touch with the deeper meaning of the warrior, we now produce soldiers. Swami will talk about the differences in an individual's level of consciousness and degree of awareness. Cruelty is a sign of weakness. We can expect kindness only from the strong. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join us, get the light in your soul, and experience spiritual strength. So Swami, I took the liberty of getting the definitions for the words veteran, soldier, and warrior. In veteran, there are two definitions, and the first one is a person who has had long experience in a veteran field, in a particular field, so they become veterans. And then the other, of course, is a person who has served in the military. Now, a soldier is a person who serves in an army, so served as a soldier. And also interesting was the definition gave an example of soldier ants. And then warrior is a brave or experienced soldier or fighter. So I know you want to talk about the differences between those two and how they relate to Kriya Yoga. So what does veteran mean to you?
Well, like we have said in previous shows, I think the main thing that veteran means to me is gratitude to people who have served in the armed forces for upholding the principles of our country. And so, again, somebody who has served would be the term of veteran. Now, as far as the difference between a soldier and a warrior, and we have covered this in an earlier show, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the difference is internal support. And the warrior, really, as a mythological image, is the defender of truth, honor, principle. That it is the Mars principle. And it is a central theme that's universal to each and every one of us. And it has a lot to do with human will. But in order for it to be effective, we must understand the concept of free will, which is the aligning of personal desire with the desire of divine law, the infinite. And that's where our real power is. And that's what we had talked about in an earlier show, this whole thing of initiating this process in development that begins with a rejoining of the individual with the divine. And when we have the benefit of this resource, it's the whole concept of perfect love casts out fear. And to be able to do things in the absence of fear and anger is the function of the warrior. The unfortunate thing is that the soldier is trained oftentimes without the benefit of this internal connection. And so you're really trying to do something without the power that comes with this internal connection, to be able to do something in the absence of fear or anger. And that's the difference.
Well, I looked up online, I looked up the meaning for mythological warrior, and this one author has a description that a mythological warrior is somebody who has a mixture of physical strength, defense, magic, and intelligence. And I thought the most interesting of those was intelligence, because we had spoken before about what do these warriors mean to us, these heroes mean to us, and we want to, as humans, we look up to those warriors and heroes because we want to be just like them. We look up to them to, because they're portraying our potential.
Yeah, and they're role models. And that's a big part of the whole developmental process, that initially we are emotional, we're reactive, we're careless. Then the next phase in development is we're ambitious, we're intelligent, but we're careful. But then the final phase in development is that we're carefree, we're wise, we're liberated, we're enthusiastic. And of course, the origins of the word enthusiasm means with theos. So here we're in tandem with something that's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred. And that is what the true warrior is, the defender of.
Now, is there a difference between a warrior and a hero? Because they're both defending what we said earlier, defenders of truth, principle, and honor.
Yeah, see, the warrior is just an aspect of the hero. The hero is the complete package that you have developed, all of the different facets of your human makeup, which includes your relationship with the divine. And the warrior really is a means to obtain that.
So when you say that we're all fighting a hard battle, is that because we are trying to be the defenders of that truth, principle, and honor, but yet we are in this physical state, and then depending on our degree of awareness and our level of consciousness, that's what we're fighting against?
Well, we're fighting against the interplay between forces, matter, mind, and spirit. Everything is really lobbying for our attention. Say, for example, the whole concept of temptation in the Bible. This whole thing that the devil can tempt us. And what temptation means is it's trying to pull us away from a different choice. And so this creates an inner conflict that we're all dealing with. And the real origins of this is that we come in with a particular pattern where we're driven by survival. We're looking for food, mother, and approval. There's also an innate drive in us that we want to be a whole person. Now, in order for us to actualize this experience of wholeness, we have to separate from this original pattern. And then we have to realign ourselves with a different source of sustenance. It's a conversion that has to take place. And the role of the warrior is played out with willpower. In order to be able to have the wherefore to be able to separate from this original pattern, to separate from fear, we need to cultivate ourselves. We need to develop human will. But then the intention of the will isn't to become a goal in and of itself. That the whole thing of free will is really the whole thing of aligning personal interest with the betterment of a greater whole. And it's kind of like what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer. It's, thy will be done, not my will be done. So a lot of the work, the internal work, is creating harmony, trying to harmonize personal interests with divine law, which is seeking expression.
Now, is that why you say that that growth requires effort? Because for us to develop willpower is really one of the hardest things for us humans to do, to accomplish.
Yeah, and if you're not working with it, that was the role of discipline in life, and especially in today's culture where we have the Western medical model, the therapeutic community that is trying to tell us that discipline is repression, that you really want to give license to your feelings. But from a spiritual sense, that's perilous. It's dangerous. And so using the instincts and the appetites of the body as a means of strengthening your psychological organs so that you can overcome the forces that are at work. So discipline isn't repression. Discipline is a conscious choice regulated with intelligence. But in the framework of doing this, you're strengthening your psychological organs. It's the same as how we develop muscle. You stress the organism, you nurture it, it gets stronger. Well, our mental capabilities and our mental functions are developed in a similar way. Only here we use discipline as the platform.
So can somebody gain the willpower through discipline of the body? Like, do we have to discipline the body first, and then from there, then it's easier to discipline the mind?
Well, there's a lot of different ways of going about it. The bottom line is that the goal that we are trying to achieve is that you want the scientific government of your body to be taken over by divine mind so that you are now in harmony with divine law seeking expression. That's optimal. Now, once you have achieved that, then, of course, your whole mode of operation has changed. Your identity has realigned itself with a part of yourself that is eternal. Now, how you're going to get to there may be in different formats. And say, for example, some people say that first you must develop the willpower so you can separate. Other people say you love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and that will produce the same return. And again, the bottom line is that we want to be in harmony with divine law seeking expression.
Now, you had mentioned fear earlier. Now, is this willpower going to help us conquer fear?
Well, the thing that really conquers fear is true love, which is the whole thing of having a relationship with a resource that enables us to transcend the limits of seeing ourselves as separate. So when our identity is bound up in the body is driven by fear. But when our identity is all bound up in spirit, the part of ourselves that is eternal, that always was and always will be, there is no being born, there is no dying. And therefore, there is nothing to be afraid of.
Now, one last question about the warriors. And in our summer, we had stated that we are producing soldiers as opposed to warriors. Is this because of the level of consciousness that we're all operating from?
Yeah, it's our lack of understanding of the role of spirit in human development. And again, this comes back to our misinterpretation of what we think religion is.
Well, I think we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website www.ipdtransform.com for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, we were talking during the break about your concept of war and spiritual weapons. Well, can you let our listeners know what your feelings are about those?
Well, I think war, just like sickness and disease, is an abnormal condition. So war, as sickness and disease is an abnormal condition of a physical body, that war is really an abnormal condition of the collective body. And so the whole concept of how we go about dealing with this and building our armies and making bigger bombs and all of that, one of the things after a while you're going to recognize that using material means and human will is limiting. And so the concept of fighting with spiritual weapons may become more and more mainstream as we start to understand, first of all, how it works, the role of the causal spiritual body in human development. Because as we start to uncover the power of divine law seeking expression on a personal level, then of course you can open that up to a broader collective level. You know, that what we're talking about here is really kind of like the power of prayer, but not audible petition, what we commonly think of as prayer, but spiritual understanding as a way of reversing the cause and effect relationship. See, how we think is what we become. Form follows function. And the role of the causal spiritual body is that the causal spiritual body is the template for which creation takes place. So it is first we have the cause, then we have the effect. And that becomes the most effective way of creating change in a desired way. But it's also in harmony with divine law seeking expression. It's kind of like in the Lord's Prayer, where we talk about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, originally, when I would hear that, I would think that the will of God was circumstances and situations as they are. So I would think that if the world was in conflict or my body was in disease, that this was the will of God. And my will was that I wanted peace or I wanted health and well-being. But the reverse is true. It is just the opposite. It is the will of God that wants peace, love, happiness, and goodness. It is the will of God that wants perfect health, harmony, wholeness, peace, and wellness. And it is my will that is creating disease. And therefore, it is up to me to make the change. It is up to us collectively to see that it is our responsibility to change how we're thinking, to change our beliefs, to change our feeling state. And these are all things that were the role of religion, to empower people to be able to do that, to maintain harmony. And that harmony would be productive of perfect health. And on a collective level, it would be peace on earth.
So are you saying that we shouldn't believe in the fact that, well, things happen to us because God wants us to learn lessons, and therefore we shake our fist at God? It's really us that are doing it by the thoughts in our mind. Like you always say, you know, how you think is what you become. So how we think can also bring about these challenges that we may be facing in this mortal existence that we have.
Yeah, and it's exactly that. Only what's happening is we change or create the condition. We don't affect God's creation at all. That we do not have effect on it. The only thing that changes is our perception of perfect creation. And that's where the adjustment must be made. We have to change our condition. And we do that by changing our beliefs and moving from limiting material human-made beliefs and adopting spiritual beliefs that are principle-centered, that are in harmony with divine law, which is nothing but peace, love, happiness, and goodness across the board. So God does not create sickness. God does not create disease. And God does not create war. These are man-made conditions based on our error in thinking.
Yeah, so it's us that are doing this to ourselves. And then if we can demonstrate those qualities, like you have talked about before, peace, love, happiness, goodness, kindness, then we are demonstrating the qualities of God, and then therefore we can overcome these challenges and obstacles?
Well, basically what happens is the cause and effect. That once you are now aligning yourself with the one mind, the divine mind, the will of God, and we do that collectively, and the collective consensus is in harmony with that, then of course it has no way of finding resistance to it, which creates the conditions that are abnormal, out of balance.
We were talking the other day about salutation to the sun and how each movement that we do represents attributes. And then we were saying that at the very end, the very last one, the very last attribute is kindness. So we say, I am kind. So why is it that that's at the end? Is that because that's one of the hardest behaviors for us to do as humans, is to be kind?
Well, if you really look at it through the process of the salutations, kindness begins with I am brave, which is the first position that you assume when the sun is in Aries. And so kindness really is a culmination of all of the different qualities, all of the different virtues and attributes that are principle-centered. And the demonstration of kindness really requires the backing of all of the different virtues.
Yeah, I like how you say that kindness is a culmination of all the other attributes, because that kind of gives us a plan, a format to follow. And the first one is, like you said, is to be brave, to, you know, be the example of bravery, and that's in everything that we do, to be brave, to overcome the fears that we may have, whatever those might be.
Right, and that's why the Chinese saying, you know, that cruelty is a sign of weakness. We can only expect kindness from the strong. And bravery really is backed by divine law. And that's why they say that perfect love casts out fear. That when a human feels connected to the divine, the concept of God, God is love, perfect divine love. And when you feel that, that light casts out the darkness of fear. But that changes not only how we perceive ourselves, but how we see everything else.
Now, if all those attributes in the salutation to the sun move towards kindness, now is kindness kind of like that prerequisite to experience and demonstrate love? Like, does kindness have to come first before we can be loving?
Well, maybe it could be just the opposite, like we were saying. Maybe the simple fact that because we feel love, now we are able to demonstrate kindness. So it is because God loves us, which is like we say that the problem with the world isn't God's love for humanity. God is pouring out love consistently for each and every one of us. And how do we know? Well, it's giving us what we need. It is giving us life, and because we have life, we are loved. But what we don't have is attention for it. For most of us, we're looking for something else. And so that becomes the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like. Now, if you don't understand or you don't have a sense of the presence of the Lord, if you don't feel divine love, then the chances are that you're looking for something else. That was the role of religion. That's the role of human development, is that whatever it is that we desire will determine our nature. So if we desire particles, we will be of a low animal nature. If we desire waves, we will be of an equally low human nature. But if we desire the void or the nothing, we will be of a divine nature. And it is the divine nature that has all of the benefit. So the role of religion and the role of yoga is to relink the individual with this source of sustenance that brings with it all of these properties, all of these benefits.
Now, is that what you would consider to be the will of God? Like, that's the will of God for us to be able to demonstrate all of those qualities?
Absolutely. That the role of God is just peace, love, happiness, and goodness. Humanity is designed for peace, love, happiness, and goodness. But in order for us to the benefit, we must love the Lord thy God with our heart, our soul, and our mind. It is that transformation that takes place in an individual when you refine yourself, when you resonate to the frequencies of the causal spiritual dimension, that then you're able to reverse the cause and effect relationship between matter, mind, and spirit.
Now, you always say, like, you know, and I joke with you about it, you always say, well, there's three words, put God first. Now, for us to be able to do that, right, we have to be able to understand what love is and just understand that God is in everything and in everyone, so therefore we should feel the power of the love just from knowing that.
Right. And also the simple fact that God is your number one need. It is the most important thing that we need to sustain our lives. And we have it. And we should celebrate that. We should be thankful and grateful for that and that alone.
Well, I think we're going to start closing down our program for today. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, please make posts about this show or give us ideas for future shows you'd like us to do. And then keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming, because we do enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to celebrate World Kindness Day. And then don't forget on Wednesdays to hop on the Facebook, our Facebook page. You're going to be able to see our Facebook live sessions that we do every Wednesday night at 5 o'clock. So, Swami, do you have any final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to again thank all of our veterans for their service and all the wonderful things that they do. And I'd wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.